Good morning, church.
So good to see you. Merry Christmas. I want to this morning, if I could, with you. First is Pastor Brent is with his family today. So his sons, Jordan and Andrew, are home from the Army. And we just praise God for them. First of all, I was in the service for years, and I spent many a lonely holiday by myself. So we just appreciate all of our military people this morning who have been across the oceans or wherever they have been, that they've been away from home. We praise God for them. We praise God for both Andrew and Jordan, and that they got to be home with their mom and dad. And so that's where Pastor Brent is today. And if we could, because I know they are going to be watching today. So could we wish them a Merry Christmas? Just do that by applause. We thank God for Pastor Brent and for Darla and for their boys. God has brought to us through them gifts and their hearts, that they have come to be with us, and for Pastor Brent to be our shepherd. And I personally look very forward to, I already have, and look forward to working with him to be with you. Let's pray. Father, we come today, God, to come into your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of you. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we just pray that today that you prepare our hearts and fill our hearts to receive of your word. Lord, whether it be presented by me or whoever that you choose, that our hearts would be open and always receptive to your word, to your life-giving word. We honor you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for coming for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in reading the Word of God together, if you would stand, please? We're going to read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the NIV. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Lord, we thank you, God, for your word that gives us life. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Well, we know about the wise men, don't we? At least maybe to the extent that we, most of us, maybe all of us, probably most all of us, have been raised with them. But like most icons or famous people or people that we've heard of, we sometimes, after a while, begin to make them like an icon, or they become almost unreal to us. It's not that we don't know them, but we really actually don't know them. So we're going to take just a minute to talk about the wise men. Who were the wise men? Well, as the scripture says, they were magi, which were people that were actually specialists in astronomy. And so this star had appeared to them. They were more than likely men who lived in the Far East, around what was called Parthia at the time. Today we would know that as modern Iran. Kingdoms had been built and lost there. Babylon was a great kingdom in the past in the Mesopotamian Valley, which is called. And these men who watched the night sky knew and were aware of a revelation. And so when this star appeared in the sky, you can imagine how they may have felt. If you had something happen in your life, maybe something that you waited for, something that you were aware of, and all of a sudden it appears, and it grabs you. Now, we don't know exactly how they knew or what the significance was of the star at the time. More than likely, and this is what I think, more than likely they actually had scrolls of the scriptures probably given by the Jews in exile when they were exiled into Babylon in that area years before, many years before. And so the scripture records, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers chapter 24. And so as we did yesterday, Christmas Eve, today still, next week as we see other loved ones or someone that we care about, they decided to go and see this child who was foretold, this king who was foretold, and they took with them gifts. And for us, for most of us, probably all of us, we know gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's where we get the three wise men. There probably was actually more wise men, but because gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we think there were three wise men. There may have been three wise men, but I think that there were more. But the main thing is that they wanted to bring gifts. They wanted to worship, but they wanted to express themselves. And so, Christmas, sometimes we've been told that, you know, it's become commercial and this kind of thing. We've almost been taught in a way sometimes that it's almost a this gift-giving and this kind of thing is almost a bad thing. But actually, this came from an original desire to express worship. It was a recognition of time that is very special. And each one of these gifts that were given with thought and with significance and with meaning. And each of you, this Christmas, did the same thing. When you gave gifts to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your family, to your friends, you took time to think it through. You wanted to give in such a way that it expressed with that gift and or gifts a meaning. You're wanting to say, you're important to me. I love you. You mean this much to me. Your gifts came with meaning. They came with expression. They came with feeling. And many more things that you felt, that you wanted to relay to that person and or persons. Today we're going to talk about a gift, a very special gift. And it is a gift that has been made by God Himself. And so actually, the idea of gift-giving actually comes from God. Oh, we could talk all day, and we won't. But we could talk all day today about all the gifts that God has given. If you think about God for just a minute, he took a little time to think about all the gifts that he has given. I'll name just a couple. The fact that you're here today. The gift of life. The gift of salvation. The gift of himself. The gift of the knowledge of God, that he has made us aware of his presence and who he is. All these things are gifts, and gifts mean this as well. Gift is a gift. It can't be earned. It is a gift. Now, I'm going to go into something here, and I want you, I need to take this in by faith. Because I'm going to tell you right now that today, that if you don't, and I say this from experience, that if you don't take this in by faith, and let me just say, this is not a charge against you like you're unfaithful or you don't have faith. I'm just saying that what I'm going to tell you today, which is the scriptures, if you don't embrace it by faith, if I don't embrace it by faith, and I know this because I've lived with me for a long time, if I don't embrace this by faith, I'll lose it. It will. It isn't that it is, you know, truth, what you believe truth, or you think of truth, or you embrace truth or you don't. Truth, did you know truth never changes? It never changes. You might not think about it, but it's still there. It is always still there. And so I need faith to embrace God's truth. Because God's truth is a gift. And God's language is faith. And the way in which I comprehend and the way in which I embrace is by faith. It is his language. Faith. So let's look together, because what I'm going to tell you right now is this. Before I even walk back up here, what I'm going to talk about today is the fact that you are a gift. God has made you, listen, God has made you a gift. Did you hear me? God has made you a gift. Yes. So when you are here, when you get to go to work tomorrow, oh boy. When you go back home, when you go to your neighborhood, where you go, wherever you go, you are a gift of God. And since you can't earn a gift, it's given in love, it's the truth, and it exists in you. You may choose to say, ah, that's really nice what you said about me today, but I'm telling you, you haven't looked in the mirror with me lately. Well, actually, because God is the one who has given you this and said that you are a gift, and it is his intention before the foundation of the world for you to be a gift to the world, to your family, to your church, to every soul who now lives and exists on this earth, then it's real. And it exists. And it's you. So let's look together in his word. You know, you may have read these scriptures many times. Have you ever read scripture and you've read it countless times, and then God the Holy Spirit speaks to you in such a way, he's like, how many times have I read this? And I never really took, and when I say saw, I mean you take it into your soul. So let's look together. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. This is from the New King James Version, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that has lost faith. Well, not everyone, but as a whole, we have spent several generations raising our children in school and this kind of thing, saying that there is no God, that there is no hope, that the hope that we have is in the institutions that we have built. Have faith in your boss. Have faith in your money. Have faith, and we can go down the line. But none of those things are actually bad things, but if they are the only things that you have, then they're nothing. Without faith in God, who brings us hope, who gives us guidance, who shows us the way, who fills our lives, then it's like it becomes emptiness. Now, people may not think about it. You say, well, you're telling me this today, that I am, as this says right here in the scripture, it says that we come as the chosen ones of God to bear divine, lasting fruit to this world. And you want to say to me, because I could say to you as well, well, I showed up at work and nobody thought that. Everybody didn't run to the door and bow to their knees and say, oh, giver of faith, please help me today. But you, through Christ, through His Holy Spirit, who comes to dwell in you, when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, He lives within you. He is the embodiment of faith, and He has now made you that gift. Everywhere you go, you have faith. People who are going through things, people, you know, even just the pressures and the stress of work. And I noticed in my life what a difference God makes in me with pressure and stress. Now, I mean, I know that we really love pressure and stress. We must, because that's the way we live all the time, right? So many of us really like that. Pressure and stress can, for example, can make us very irritable, can it? It can cause us to, which, for example, I think of a proverb where it talks about a wise man or woman as one who never belittles another or never has a sharp word. But when's the last time pressure and stress caused us to have a sharp word? But faith, I found that faith in me would change my life, would change my behavior. And I say this humbly in my experience as I would go to work, as I were the places that I go or whatever, that people respond. They may not know why they're responding, but they will respond to the faith that lives within you. They might not come to you and say, oh, please lead me to God. But that's what they're saying. Because they sense the gift of you. Now, this is a little down the line, and actually, this is not in the notes, Michael, wherever you are back. All I see is a little bit of his head. There's a hand. This is not in the notes, okay? In the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says that we are literally the fragrance of Christ. People literally can spiritually, I'm trying to think of a way to say this. I'm not sure exactly if it's going to come out just right. They can smell you. Do you hear me? Oh, please, let's not walk away today and this, well, hopefully you will say this, but oh, that was a nice sermon. What good are sermons if it doesn't do anything for us? We are being asked to live life here in Christ. We have this long to live here and be the fragrance of Christ. Everywhere you go, because he lives within you, and it actually records too, is that we are the smell of life to those who seek life, but we are also the smell of death who look to live in death. So don't be surprised when you get negative. I don't understand why that person doesn't like me. They may not understand why they like you, but they can sense the life in you. Now, I want to say again as we continue on that this is God's intention. You think about your intention. You gave gifts these last few days, at least, if not longer. You will continue to give gifts out of love, out of motivation to share with others what they mean to you. Remember again as we speak, this is God's intention. It's not because I said it. It's because he said it. The book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're going to look at just exactly, we're going to look at what's pointed out here, but I want to say something to you as well. You may never be standing right here. You may never have, and I'm not saying please don't misunderstand, I'm saying this in a negative way. Because it's very important, like my brother John said this morning, I look very forward to learning. We're supposed to learn. We desire to grow in him. We desire to grow closer to him. We desire to know his word. For some, they have titles behind their names. They study for years. They study because they want to serve. But not everybody is going to have the title pastor by their name, or doctor, or whatever. That doesn't make that bad. But it also is not exclusive. When God gave his gifts, he gave them to us without that necessarily in mind. So I want to say to you today, as you're sitting here thinking, you're thinking in your head, that's nice what he's saying, and that's good for the person sitting next to me, but not for me. No. Unlike with the world who says that God is exclusive, he's actually very inclusive. He loves everyone. The scripture says that he desires, there's another one not in the notes, okay, Michael? He desires that everyone, 2 Timothy, desires that everyone come to Christ. And he desires to give everyone these gifts. So he has made you, this applies to you today, so that's it, you can't get out of it. Okay? Yeah, no pressure, no sweat merit, pressure's the best thing, remember, faith. This is for you. You are a gift. God intended it. It doesn't mean that then you don't continue to study and to learn and to allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and for you to continue to grow in Him. But that doesn't mean as well actually, we're going to get to that here. I'm getting ahead of myself again. So let's look at Ephesians, and let's just look at the points. Okay, Michael, I'm back on task again here so you can put it up. We come with an inheritance of heavenly spiritual blessing. Now, you know, you're going to go to work or wherever you're going to go, a lot of people aren't even going to know what that means. But that doesn't make you not that. This isn't about recognition. This isn't about approval. You know, Paul even said, he says, I didn't come to look for the approval of men. I came to live for the approval of God. Just because people may not understand doesn't mean that it doesn't still apply. God still applies. He says he reigns on the just and the unjust. God's here. He's with every individual, intimately. He knows each one. And he wants you where you are. You got there. You got put there. Whether you work there, you live next door to them, or whatever it is, you're a gift. And God wants to give you. And so whether they understand or not, that's what he's inhabited us for. That they would come to understanding. But you know, I want to say to you as we go on with this, is that have you ever met someone who's famous? Or, you know, actually, the meaning in Ephesians is almost kind of lost to us today because we live in the culture that we live in. We don't have kings anymore. We don't have queens. We don't have princes. But to the ancients, to the people who originally read this text, they knew exactly what was being said. This is talking about someone who is privileged. This is talking about someone that everybody knows. And when they would walk somewhere within the kingdom, if they were a prince, if they were the son of the king, or they were the daughter of the king, everybody knew. And it carried with it an understanding. God is saying, this is who you are. You actually exist in the kingdom. You have been born into the kingdom. You live in the kingdom. Though you still live here for a while, you live in the kingdom, and you are these things. We are the chosen of God from before the foundation of the world. We are the holy and blameless before Him in love. We are the adopted of God according to His good pleasure, won by the love of the Son of God. You are an inheritor. You are, as the scripture says in Romans, you are a co-inheritor with Christ. All the resources of heaven, of the kingdom, belong to you. Now, I want to say to you again, I know today that you live life here. And life here can be really hard. And I know that you're thinking, while I'm talking. And these things all sound really wonderful, but again, I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to go back into this situation. I'm going to have this thing, you know. What? Oh boy, we could just talk all day, couldn't we? About the troubles. Remember what Jesus said to us about that, about the troubles? Don't let those things, don't let them steal from you. Even though they'll just keep right on trying. So even as I'm talking to you today, you're like, that's really wonderful. But that's why I'm saying to you, you're going to walk away today, or you're going to get up and go to work tomorrow, whatever, and oh, life's going to hit you right in the face. And it's going to run right in there and tell you that everything that was just said yesterday, which hopefully you remember, everything that was said to you yesterday, just going to reach right in there and just snatch that right out. That's why you have to take it by the love language. Faith. God is not God once in a while. God is not hope once in a while. God is not love once in a while. God is not God when God feels like being God, and then when he doesn't feel like God, even though you and I felt that at times, haven't we? God is, and his truth is, always. John chapter 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I say this completely without being in any way irreverent, because I know that probably everybody, again, in this sanctuary has done this at one time or another. Thank you, God. Thank you for putting me in this situation. Thank you for making me this. Because it wasn't even your idea. The scripture says that we didn't love him. He first loved us. He chose us. You are the chosen of God. It was all his idea. You chose me. And you appointed you, excuse me, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We come as the chosen ones of God to bear divine lasting fruit to this world because God chose us to do that. We are the adopted of God. We are the inheritors of all that is his kingdom. We are his gift. As the wise men put together those gifts out of love and worship to give to our Savior, as the Savior of the world is our gift, and so now God has made us a gift to the world. Now I love this so much. And as I read this verse to you today, I want to say to you that it can be rendered in different ways. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it records and says that we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his handiwork. This is from the Passion Translation, and I just love this. I saw this and I was like, yes! Ephesians 2:10, excuse me, 2:10. We have become his poetry. Do you hear that? We are God's poetry. We have have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. We are the master's poetry to this world. Remember what I said. This has to be taken by faith. And I want to say to you again, that's not a charge. That's saying, not saying to you, oh, you have less faith. Or that I don't have faith in you. It's simply, I'm speaking from experience because I know me. And as much as I know me, I know how human I am. Just like the wise men. Yes, they were they're icons to us now, but they were just men. They were human beings. You and I are human beings. We still carry within us as well a nature that all the time is working with us. That's saying, oh, you're not that. Oh, you're worthless. You're a sinner. You're this, you're that. God's not going to use you. Or you have an experience with someone at work that looks at you and basically lets you know how crummy you are. Michael, would you please post the quote? Waiting to come to the Lord when you get your life cleaned up is like waiting to go to the ER when you stop bleeding. Can I read that to you again? Well, thank you. Waiting to come to the Lord when you get your life cleaned up is like waiting to go to the ER when you stop bleeding. And say, well, wait a minute. That's talking about someone that hasn't come to the Lord. And actually, I am today speaking to you if you have not. If there's anyone here who has not come to the Lord. First of all, that's not a put down. Everybody at some time came to the Lord. Now, I'm sure in the kingdom that it was glorious and rejoicing, but for me personally, frankly, just to tell you today, I came to the Lord. It wasn't, you know, no bells went off, anything like that. If anything, there were jet engines starting up. I gave my heart to the Lord on the flight line in the Air Force, and I didn't even have a clue that that's what I was doing. If you're here today and you have not come to the Lord, we welcome you. Not because any of us are any better. We are what God has made us. I see one board member right there. Board members today, I know this is completely unannounced and it's a surprise, but could the board members that are here today, could you stand for just a moment? Thank you. If you're here today visiting, yeah, you don't have to keep standing. If you're here today visiting, if you haven't known the Lord, I asked them to stand so you have someone that you can contact with. But I'm telling you right now, this church is rich with people who love the Lord. For real. Go find them today. God has touched your heart. Find them today. Don't let it pass. Now also, but I gave this because it wasn't written exactly for just those seeking salvation, but I gave it to you today that I received from a fellow minister of mine who posted it, who's just been a good friend of mine for a long time, because I know again how we think. So I thought this would just reach right out and grab a hold of us. Waiting to come to the Lord when you get your life cleaned up is like waiting to go to the ER when you stop bleeding. Waiting to embrace the things I said, which is really what he said, which is really what he's doing. You see, he made you a gift, not me. And so we do. We also do this as well. Well, you know, I'm just going to kind of wait on that a little bit. I'm not so sure. Okay, amen. I know that's the word of God. But I think I'll just, what? Wait until you bleed out? Okay, so you're not going to really bleed out, okay? Just so you know. But do you see the analogy? Today is the day. As the scripture today says, today is the day of salvation. Today. Today, Tommy, I like to talk to people in the congregation. I hope this doesn't make you all nervous. Today, for me, for you, today is that day. Today is for me and you to believe, is to act, is to trust, is to take his word in. If I believe it, what am I? I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to begin to pray that way. I'm going to begin to believe that way. I'm going to begin to live that way. God's called me. I'm a gift. Okay, I'm expecting. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you expect, if the Holy Spirit's living within you, why would you not expect then that people begin to come up to you? They may not come to you and say, I want to know Jesus, but that's really what they're saying. What is it about you? They may not say that either, but that's what they're saying. Would you pray for me? Would you be my friend? He doesn't love some future version of you. He loves us in our mess. Today, that's what you, I know that's what you're thinking. I'm a mess. It's very hard for me to take this in. I know I've repeated this over and over. Do you know actually it's okay for me to do that? Did you know that? Did you know that in the scriptures it says that Paul said that it's good to repeat? It doesn't hurt you and me to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you're probably thinking, if he says that one more time. Because we need to hear it over and over and over. Again, what I just said. Marcy, Steve. While Marcy and Steve are coming, I ask the board members to stand. If you're here today and you want to know the Lord, or you want prayer, whatever, please, I welcome you. Where you are, or you may come to the altar, please. Now, pray now. If you want to pray and need to pray, pray now.
Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge spent a horrific night. And I'm going to quote his words that are of the whole novel, Charles Dickens. These are the words that I love the most, and I love that Christmas carol. I love that so much. Scrooge had spent the night, and he had become this person. And the idea behind the novel is that God was intervening in his life. And so God worked to bring him back to a realization of who he had made him to be. And he says, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Father, in the name of Jesus, let today, let these lessons, they're not mine, they're yours. Lord God, help and inhabit and bring them into our souls that they may live, that we may live. And like Scrooge, Lord, that we would come to that realization of the potential of what we have been made, and that we would live it, Lord. And so in this moment of prayer, I pray this over you and send you with this benediction. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful day.